Jason Tatum's takeover, Robert Williams better than a Hall of Famer? It's mailbag time on this Friday, Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, John Corrales here from MassLive.com, welcoming you back to another edition of this Locked On Celtics podcast, the number one Boston Celtics podcast in the universe. Yes, I've checked all across the universe, and I'm assuming that Apple's ratings cover all of the universe, and so there we are. We're number one on Apple. Thank you for making this show number one. It's all because you rated it 5 stars. It's all because you gave those good written reviews. It's all because you shared the podcast. Are you a new listener coming over from MassLive.com? Thank you. I hope you enjoy this show enough to subscribe. The people from MassLive will be listening because this is a dual mailbag. This is the Friday routine now. I'm trying to make it the Friday routine. Mailbag questions come in all week at jcorrales@masslive.com. Email me those questions, jcorrales@masslive.com, throughout the entire week. Then on Thursday night, I compile the questions. I put a big honking column on Mass Live with as many questions as I can fit there. It's a big long column. And then the rest of the questions that I can't fit into that go here onto the Friday Locked On Celtics podcast. So if you sent me a question and you don't hear it answered here, go to masslive.com/Celtics and it's probably going to be there, and vice versa. If you read that thing and you don't see it there, then you're going to hear it answered here. That's how this is going to work. So let me just dive on in and start answering these questions. And I'm going to start with Kevin M, who admits that he has a tendency to ramble, but Kevin says basically, Jason Tatum is on the path to being a top 10 player in the league. I feel like the Celtics have a decision to make when it comes to how they run their offense, and the ball needs to be in Tatum's hands as much as possible. All caps, this is the conversation we should be having. And it goes on and on and on. Here's the gist of the question. Running the thing through Tatum and everyone knowing their roles and kind of falling in line behind that, and my thoughts on that. So next year's team, this is a good question, because next year's team is going to be different than this year's team, even if all of the people are the same. Even if the Celtics bring back literally the exact same team, which they can do, they won't, but they can. But that team is going to be its own entity, its own different living, breathing thing, because the players' roles have changed. The money has changed. The ages change. You know, different things change. The experiences that they shared, the playoffs, all of that stuff makes them different people going into next season. Makes Brad Stevens a little bit of a different coach heading into next season. It makes me, as a person who covers this team, a little bit of a different journalist going into next season. At least my perceptions of the team and what I see that they should be doing. So this question leads into some of that, because, yeah, Jason Tatum is the clear number one option now. And you got to remember that last season he didn't come into this as the number one option, but he's going to be the number one guy. So, yeah, they need to have the ball in Tatum's hands a lot. When we say as much as possible, we also have to understand that other guys on the team, especially during the regular season, need their fair share of touches. Jaylen Brown needs to be an integral part of this offense, and it needs to be in his hands a lot too. Kemba Walker needs to have the ball in his hands a bunch. Gordon Hayward, if he's back and is here throughout the season, all the same. Now, to what degree? Obviously, Tatum is going to be the guy that you want to take a bulk of the shots. But Tatum also has to grow. And part of this question was, I'll read from here. I would love to get deeper into what Tatum needs and how the team can build around that. So Tatum needs to grow his game a little bit. I think he needs to be better at driving, attacking. He did a good job of driving and getting to the line. What I want him to do, first of all, tighten up that handle a bit more. And whatever it is, strength, whatever he needs to do, jam his like hand into a bucket of rice and like squeeze. That's an old trick. That's like an old boxer trick to get those hands and those forearms really thick. You just get a bucket of rice. It's actually an Eastern kind of training method where you would jam your hands into the rice because it provides the resistance and it would build up calluses on the hands and strengthen the forearms and the arms. But do that so you can hold on to the ball when you drive. Like, that's a big thing he needs to do. But he needs to drive, and he needs to drive with the thought of scoring. One thing that I didn't like was he spent a lot of time foul hunting, which, yes, you need to get to the line more. And it's great to score from the line. It makes you a very efficient player. You look at James Harden, the efficiency numbers are crazy. I want him to learn how to drive, looking for the basket while also getting those fouls. And not just looking for fouls, because too often he will think he got fouled and he'll throw up a crazy shot looking for an and one. And it doesn't get called. And that crazy shot ends up essentially becoming a turnover. It becomes a missed shot, an air ball. And Tatum starts complaining to the ref and the ball's going the other way. That happened a little too often for my tastes. So, number one, Tatum needs to be going to the hoop. And yeah, I get you want to embellish a call because that's how the referees call it. That's an entirely different discussion. And if you want to send me a mailbag question at jcorrales@masslive.com about that, I'll answer that on the next mailbag. That's a great way. Somebody asked me that question. But you can't just drive to only look for the foul. You've got to drive and you want to go for the bump. You want to do some things like that. Sure. But also put up a shot that has a chance at going in. So if he's going to be the guy, the main guy, that's an element of his game that needs to happen. He's gotten very good at dishing. I think he needs to be better at that if he's going to take that next leap. And I think if he starts doing those things, like just driving aggressively, setting up his jumper off of the drive, I think that's going to help him be that top five, top 10 player that they're looking for him to be. He does rely on his jumper an incredible amount to be the number one scorer out there. Like, if he's hot from three, if he's hitting those side steps and step backs and all that stuff, if they're just going in, contested or whatever, then you have got no chance. Tatum's release is just too good. He's too crafty with that. And that's amazing. But there are going to be plenty of games where that shot just isn't falling. And if that shot isn't falling, then he's going to find another way to score. He can't be so reliant on the jumper. And then if he's driving, then he's driving and kicking. And that's how the other guys get involved. But if he's going to be the top five player that the team needs him to be, he needs to impact the game on multiple levels, not just scoring. He does it defensively. getting to the line is a great way to do it. Obviously, you're getting the other team in the penalty, which sets up your teammates to score. But the driving, the aggressive driving, and then the kicking, and not just the driving and the kicking, but the manipulation. That's the thing I've talked about a little bit before. Getting that level of playmaking where you get the defense to do what you want it to do. Like Tatum's at the place where the defense does what it's trying to do. Tatum reads that and takes advantage of the weak spot or somebody that's not quite executing. The thing that he needs to do, and this is when I did the whole thing with Tatum and Luka, the thing that Luka does is I'm going to drive or I'm going to do something here that I know this is going to get the defense to do what I want them to do. And when the defense does it what I want it to do, then I know that by doing X, they're going to do these things, and I'm going to set up Jaylen Brown in a corner. And I know that by doing that a couple times, they're going to react to that. And then in the fourth quarter, when it comes time to score, I'm going to set up like I'm doing that, and then boom, bust them. And 2-3 straight times you're getting fouled or you're getting open lanes or you're just shaking a guy and you're getting an open three. That's the next level. That's the level. Because scoring, and I know you don't like to hear Kyrie, but Kyrie Irving, I heard him talk about it. The scoring, the fourth quarter scoring is a process that is weaved throughout the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter. And I wish I could find this, but he laid that out very perfectly. So that's the thing that Jason Tatum has really got to get to. Going to come back. I got a question about Kemba Walker's knee and a question about Robert Williams being better than a Hall of Famer. That's next on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. Continuing the mailbag here on Locked On Celtics and MassLive.com. Remember that you can go to MassLive.com for the first set of questions. This is the overflow here. Greg J. wants to know, what is wrong with Kemba's knee? I cannot find anything specific. Is it arthritis or the dreaded bone-on-bone situation? Nobody knows for sure. The Celtics actually have never given a diagnosis of the actual injury. It is something that I've been told, or Kemba has said, it's more on the side of the knee. So it's more on the outside of the knee. And it seems to me that it is, I don't think that it's arthritis or bone on bone or something like that. It seems to me that there's a tendonitis thing. It just sounds like a tendonitis thing. It may be bone on bone. It may be something related. I mean, he has had multiple surgeries on the knee. And so whether that's to just clear out debris or just, I mean, there are little cleanup things that you can do. you go in with a little arthroscope, which is you make a little small incision. They put a little tube in there with a camera and a little tool at the end of it. And it just buzzes away or vacuums out some of the loose things that might have happened. Look, that's just, when you put your body through what a basketball player puts his body through, you're going to have those little things. And let me tell you something, a little tiny, tiny piece of bone kind of chipping off and floating around in there, or a little piece of debris floating around in there, if it gets in the wrong place, man, does that hurt. So that's just an aside. I don't know exactly what it is. It feels like a tendonitis thing, because one of the ways that you deal with tendonitis is you strengthen the leg. I personally have a probably 30-year battle with patellar tendonitis. The patellar tendon is right below your kneecap. You can feel it if you just put your hands on the bottom of your kneecap, that little soft spot right underneath it. If you like tense your legs, it gets tight. That's your patellar tendon right there. That is something that has bothered me forever. And part of the treatment is strengthening the muscles around it, strengthening your quads so they can handle more of the workload. So that's my guess. But the Celtics have not been specific about that. Bone on bone is bone on bone. There's no strengthening that's going to help that much, I don't think. But again, well, maybe someday we'll get the answer to that. But we keep asking, and they just, all they say is it's just general pain. So at Bob Smietana, sorry, Bob, on Twitter, asks, why don't the Celtics attack the basket more? Good things happen when they do. Bad things happen when they get three ball happy. And why do they pound the ball and then launch contested threes at the end of game / half / quarter? Why not attack the basket or pass to try to score rather than just running the clock? Well, I agree, Bob. It is annoying that they don't attack the basket more. Now, look, sometimes they just are forced into the threes. Okay, sometimes just good defense, and that's the shot that you get. Sometimes they are lulled into thinking that those are the best shots to get. I really do think, and I think Marcus Smart is guilty of this. They face, especially like a zone or something like that, they face a defense where it's tough to get good shots. And so the first good shot that they get, they say, oh, well, this is a good shot. We don't get a lot of good shots, so we're going to take the first good shot that we get. Okay, fine. That's not wrong necessarily. It's not necessarily wrong. I'm sure Mike D'Antoni, if I had him sitting here next to me, he'd say, look, the first shot that you get, the earlier in the shot clock, the better, probably, because the defense isn't set. Like, the longer you go, like, it's harder to get a good shot. Okay, fine. My beef is, and I think with Marcus Smart specifically in that Miami series, okay, you took the first shot that you felt you could make, but if it's a shot that you can get at any time, just work it around a little bit more, because when you get the ball back, you could probably get one of those shots pretty easily. So if you can get that shot pretty much at any time, then you don't have to take it right away. I think the Celtics fall into traps where they all feel confident in their abilities. Maybe the other guys aren't feeling it. So each guy feels like, okay, I can do this. I'm a good three-point shooter. And a lot of these guys are. They say, I'm a good three-point shooter. I'm just going to shoot this. And they, I think, fall into these habits of settling for threes. And let's be honest, it's not just the Celtics. Teams do that. Sometimes, and they're honestly, there are different reasons in different games. Sometimes you're just tired. Some days you just feel tired and you're like, you know what? I'm not going to drive. I'm just going to sit here and catch and shoot this three. Hate to tell you that even though these guys make millions of dollars, there's going to be some games. There are going to be some games out there, some days at work where you're like, I'm not feeling this. I've said it before. Doesn't matter who you are, how much money you make. Everybody has a day at work where you're like, you know what? Not going to do a damn thing today, my friends. I'm going to kick back. I'm going to look like I'm working. But really, behind this spreadsheet is Twitter or Solitaire or something else that's going to take up your attention. That happens in basketball, too. It happens at every level of every job everywhere. Sorry. So sometimes that happens too. But bottom line is the Celtics do need to attack the basket more. The drive, the kick, getting the team in rotation, getting defenses out of position, that's certainly the best way to play basketball offensively to me. But it's just not always possible. Russ L. says, enjoy your podcast. Thanks, Russ. If Robert Williams reaches his potential, could he be better than Chief was? Whoa. Well, Robert Parrish was a Hall of Famer. And you might say he was a borderline Hall of Famer. If he was on a different team, would he have been a Hall of Famer? Okay, you know, we can make that argument, but he wasn't on another team, and he is a Hall of Famer. So that's a high standard. Can Robert Williams be a Hall of Famer if he reaches his potential? Well, I mean, I'm not going to say no, but also probably not. Now, I'm not going to say no out of hand because he's young, and if something clicks and he becomes a defensive maniac and becomes a rim runner, and next thing you know, he has 15 years of 15 to, you know, 17 points per game, 10 to 12 rebounds, 3-4 blocks. Well, you know, Celtics win a couple of titles. I don't know. I don't know. Well, maybe. Makes an all-star team here or there. I mean, maybe. But if I'm putting a percentage chance on that, like a 3% chance, 2% chance. It's not a 0% chance because you just never know. Some guys are late bloomers. I can't predict the future. So I'm going to say probably not. But hey, who knows? Maybe that jump shot that he's working on becomes money. Maybe that thing's just wet and he just becomes this threat from all over the place. I don't know. Is that probable? No. Is it possible? Sure. Who knows? The kid's got talent. He's got talent. He just needs the reps to see where that goes. I think, honestly, his real true potential is, I don't think that he ever makes an all-star team. I don't think that he ever makes an all-NBA team. I think there's a potential for him to make an all-defense team someday. That's good. I think there's a potential for him to be a high-end player. That's good. A starter for a long time. There is certainly that potential. I think he can be a very good player. Realistically, no, not a Hall of Famer, not better than Robert Parrish, but realistically, could be pretty good. We'll be back with more of your questions, including trading into the top five of next year's draft. That's next. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. Three more questions to go before we wrap this up. Again, email me at jcorrales@masslive.com. We're going to do this every Friday. Jimmy S. says, I was listening to Scal and Pals earlier this week, and they brought up a potential trade. Wiggins for Bradley Beal and Golden State gives them the number 2 pick in the Wolves 2021 first round pick. Your thoughts on this and if Washington would go for this? This is a reminder, by the way, that you can ask more than Celtics questions. You can ask NBA questions. I'll answer those. You can ask other questions. I don't know. Maybe you got something else in your mind. Let's have fun with it. Back to Jimmy's question. I know that these guys, I listened to this podcast, I know that they were saying that this is a no-brainer for both sides. Golden State gets Bradley Beal. The Wizards get the number 2 pick in this year's draft, which is a very high pick. And the Wolves' first-round pick next year, which I don't know how good it's going to be, but let's say somewhere I mean, the West is going to be stacked. I don't know that Minnesota is going to be very good. Could they be a playoff team? Possibly. So, middle of the pack. Are they going to be the worst team in the West? No. So, that first round pick is going to be somewhere 10 to 15. However, next year's draft is really, really good. So, the number two pick in this year's draft, a potential lottery pick in next year's draft, and Andrew Wiggins, who, well, maybe he can find some thing somewhere to fill his potential. It's not a bad haul for Bradley Beal. The picks are certainly tempting. These guys on the podcast were all for it. I'm not saying I'm accepting this out of hand. I'm not saying you jump on that deal. Because you have to look at, all right, well, what other players are out there? Does someone else have proven entities? Because you have to look at what is Washington looking for? They have struggled for so long. If you're trading Bradley Beal, well, there goes one of your star players. Are you going to suck again? Like, you suck with him. You're going to suck without him? Like, they're tired of this. They want to become a playoff team. So, I don't know that this is what they're exactly looking for. So, what are they looking for? Maybe some more established players? Maybe a player that's not necessarily a Beal level star, but like a really good player and a pick and, you know, something else. I don't know. It's hard for me to wrap my head around what the Washington Wizards really want. If they did this deal, I think because, you know what, honestly, what's happening here? It's the Andrew Wiggins thing. Because getting Wiggins, it becomes Wiggins for Beal and draft picks. And it immediately I'm thinking like, well, Wiggins for Beal and picks, like, ugh, ah, no. But that number two pick and a pick in a deep draft that could get you a really good player, I'm saying that I don't know that it's the best deal. They were characterizing it on their podcast that that's probably going to be the best deal that the Washington Wizards get. I'm saying it's probably not the best deal that the Washington Wizards get, that they could do better. So it's not bad. I think Washington would kind of, this is one that you would hear leaked out there because Washington's leaking the deal so other teams can know what they have to beat. You know what I'm saying? This is something that Shams would tweet, like, Washington seriously considering Golden State offer of Andrew Wiggins, the number two pick, and a Timberwolves 2021 first rounder. Something to that effect. So other teams would be like, oh yeah, we can beat that. Or, you know, what about these guys? That's how this stuff works. So that's something that you would see floated well before it was agreed to. Like, this wouldn't be something that just came out of nowhere and they're like, oh yeah, we're going to jump on that deal. This is something that would be floated out there for sure. Speaking of next year's draft, Alex C. says, it would be interesting if you talk about the options Celtics have to trade their picks for a top five pick next draft, which would be better than this one. Sure. Here are all of their options for trading into next year's draft for the top five. Yeah, that's all of them. It's, unless you're giving up a good player, next year's draft is supposed to be stacked. Next year, if the Celtics had these picks in next year's draft, they'd be golden. But to have these picks in this, who is going to trade out of the top five of what is considered to be a star-laden draft to take picks in a draft that after, like, say, 8 or 9, really the next 20 guys are all basically an equal level. I just don't see it. Unless you're giving up a player of some magnitude. Teams that are looking forward to being potentially in that top five, they're looking for, I mean, that, honestly, you'd have to give up like Jaylen Brown for something like that. For, like, it would have to be like Jaylen Brown for an unprotected first round pick from, I don't know, who's going to be the worst team in the league next year? You know, I can't even think of who it's going to be. But whatever, that's what it's going to end up taking, right? That team is going to have to say, all right, well, we're basically drafting Jaylen Brown with the first pick or the top five pick. I mean, I don't know who the worst team's going to be in the league next year. It depends. Is it going to be Cleveland? Maybe. So you go to Cleveland, you say, here's Jaylen Brown for your first round pick next year. Do you want to do that? Marcus Smart? Are you just giving up one of these guys? That's what it's going to have to take. No combination of picks is going to get the Celtics into that spot. So, sorry, Alex. That's not going to happen. Wrapping it up with Anthony C., who does not ask a basketball question. He asked me a personal question. Okay, that's fine. I'm not going to say I'm going to answer all personal questions on here, but sure, why not? Get to know me a little bit better. But he asks, have you ever thought about working at the national level with a bigger audience and more money? I know you also do the Locked On NBA podcast, but if opportunities opened with ESPN or NBA TV or something like that, would you take it? Well, look, I love covering the Celtics. I love covering them for Mass Live. I love doing the Locked On Celtics podcast. I love doing all of that stuff. So I'm perfectly happy doing what I'm doing. So if one of those opportunities came on, I would have to like look at it and say, okay, what does that give me? What am I trying to do? You know, I come from a TV background and I would love to do TV. So if NBA TV wanted me to be a studio host or something, then yeah, that would be a job I would love to have. If ESPN wanted to hire me and have me be the next Brian Windhorst, I don't think that's my level. I'm not going to be a Woj. I'm not a newsbreaker. That's not my role. I'm not going to fill that role. I would never get offered that job. If they wanted me to be on The Jump and be a regular on The Jump, why not? But to be honest with you, any opportunity I have to cover this league, to cover this sport is something that I cherish. I would love, I mean, look, if you want to give me a bigger job with more money, I think everybody would understand if I'm getting a bigger job with more money. But at the same time, I do love connecting to you. I do love connecting to you through the podcast, through Twitter. Like, I love the interaction. I love being like, you know, I say it at the top of the show every time. Thank you for making me part of your daily routine. Look, I like that. I like that. And there is a point where you lose that if you're constantly like, if you get, I don't know, too big. Is that right? So my job, my goal is not to get to a specific outlet or have a certain amount of Twitter followers or a certain amount of people reading my stuff, or, you know, like, what I want to do is I want to be around basketball. I'm from this area, so I love being in this area. I do love the stability, and I'm not, you know, in a hurry to move to Atlanta to be on NBA TV. I like living in this area. But life And this is a little bit of advice for maybe some of you young people that are in this business. It's a weird business, and you never know when something's going to change. I've been in jobs where I was promoted, fired, you know, because management changed or whatnot. That's happened to me before in television. I went from basically running a newsroom to kicked out of the newsroom, all because management changed. That happens. It happens. I always say covering the sport is just like the sport that we cover, because there are limited spots. There are there's a lot of competition. If I said, "Yeah, hey, I'm taking this job at NBA TV," my editor at Mass Live would be buried with resumes. People would kill to get this job. You know, so that's all, you know, part of this industry. And I respect that, and I understand that, and I understand what this is. So my goal is to simply, like, I just want to enjoy myself. I want to enjoy covering basketball. I want to do it in a way that makes me happy, that makes you happy, that hopefully teaches you something, and hopefully I can learn some stuff along the way. But if you want to give me more money for this, sure, I'll take that. But who doesn't want that? So, yeah. So I'm not in any hurry to go anywhere. I don't know if you want me to go somewhere, Anthony. I know you don't. I'm just joking. But I like doing what I'm doing, and it's a lot of fun. And I hope you've had fun, and you have fun when I'm doing these podcasts. So if you're a new listener and you enjoyed it, go ahead and subscribe. If you came over from Mass Live, if you've read that entire mailbag and now you're at the bottom and you're listening through that embedded player at the bottom of Mass Live, hit that subscribe button there. You can subscribe wherever podcasts exist, follow on Spotify, however you want to do it. You regular listeners, I love you. Thank you for giving those 5-star ratings, giving those written reviews. Really enjoy that, because you've made this show the number one podcast, number one Celtics podcast in the world, and I really appreciate that. Also, sharing the podcast is awesome. Tell your friends that they should listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.